God is a good God. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
How many of you were here this morning?
Amen.
Oh, Lord. So it's necessary for me to move on to another topic. Some people came in, they were expecting. We can turn this down just a little. Some people were expecting the five love languages this morning. How many of you were looking for the five love languages? Okay. So now I'm going to cover both seminars this afternoon, all right? I'm going to talk briefly about the five love languages. You know, I met Gary Chapman personally. I used to be the family minister director of the Northeastern Conference, and we used to invite this caliber of men into our family ministries retreats so that we could be blessed. What's the other guy that wrote Men Are From Mars and Women Are From... Well, we invited him as well. And he came to Northeastern Conference, and some of the years, 3 years or so, we took everybody on a cruise, and it was just family ministry. And on the cruise ship, they gave us the whole of the theater. And so every day we had worship, and then we had, you know, presentations. So God was very good to us. Amen. And so this afternoon, I'm going to talk about, you know, I'm going to have you to pray in a few seconds. I know Pastor Ali prayed for us, but we want to get in tune a little bit more this evening. I want you to get a little bit more involved. And I'm going to talk, because I'm going to talk about power and control. And we, many times in the family, we have trouble with power and control. Who's going to dominate? And I can tell you right now that we are having just as many divorces in the Seventh-day Adventist Church as they are having in the world. And I don't think that that's good. Yet I know that there are many folks that have been abused, all different types of abuse. And the Bible says, you know, you should not stay in the presence of someone like that. So I'm not one of these pastors that's going to tell a person to stay in there and take it.
Amen.
That's not going to come out of my mouth.
Amen.
So we need to talk about power and control and how to handle it so that it does not handle us. So I'm going to start with the five love languages, and then I'm going to shift over to how to get your mate to agree with you 97% of the time.
Well,
my brother, that's why she came and got you. But I want to shake your hand. You're the man, brother. You're the man. No matter what she says, you're the man. By the grace of God, amen. I want you to do something for me. In a few minutes, I would like for you just to bow your head and talk to your God and ask God to send a powerful anointing of His Spirit upon us here today. Can you do that for me? And then I'll close from up here. But just talk to your God for a few minutes. I mean, see, you can talk in silence to your God. Nobody knows what you're saying. And you can pray for anything you want to pray for. But in the end, please pray for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. So, dear Father, I was blessed by some of these, your children, this morning. They are very precious. And I haven't been to very many conferences where I have experienced the love that I felt here. And so, dear God, we pray for a special anointing of your Holy Ghost power. May your children realize that you are right here with us and that you're going to bless us. Your servant humbly present himself to you to be used. And I thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know that Pastor Rojas and I are working together. I told him about some of you here today. He's going to continue the process by making an appeal. And I can't begin to tell you what God is going to do in this conference.
Amen.
All we have to do is believe.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know there's some very special people in here with us right now. They're more important than all of us because they are non-Adventists. But God has brought them to this place.
Amen.
For this time.
Amen.
They're more important than me. They're more important than you.
Amen.
They are very special. I'm going to be praying for them. Holy Spirit is going to be talking to them. And when they show up at the meeting tonight, Pastor Rojas is just going to continue what I started.
Mm.
I don't know who you are. And I don't need to know who you are.
Right.
Because God knows.
Amen. Amen.
And I want you to know when the appeal is made for you to come to Jesus, everything that I'm teaching here about how we think and how we approach, how we learn, how we accept, how we reject, I'm going to get into your mind a little bit and deal with how we think and what we bring to the table. Because Jesus says to us, the battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
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 So it's not about us. It's not about our thinking. It's about how submissive we can be to Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I said, can I get a witness?
Amen.
Don't get me started in here, all right? I'm trying to push that food down so that we can have a good time in the Lord. You know, Jesus has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? Jesus is not walking around, you know, all sad. He's a happy Seventh-day Adventist.
Amen.
Help me somebody.
Amen.
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 And so that's what it's all about. It's about how much can God control me?
Wow.
Mm. We've said and we've read The Great Controversy. How many of you read The Great Controversy?
Yeah.
And where is the battle? Between our ears, that's where the battle is. How much can I surrender to God? I once wrote a book. It's entitled Toward a Psychology of Evangelism, The Paradoxical Surrender of Culture in Conversion. I want to start off by asking you a question. What God do you serve? Do you serve the God of culture? Do you serve the God in culture? Or do you serve neither of those gods? And I'm going to mention the third in a few minutes. But I want us to talk about those two. What God do you serve? What kind of God is he? What kind of place is heaven going to be? You're talking about a melting pot on the face of the earth. Heaven is going to have all kind of people. I'm going to be able to sing when I get to heaven.
Amen.
Tell you about a miracle. I was up in Syracuse, New York. Billy Graham was there the week before I got there. He closed down and shut down and left Syracuse and said the Spirit of God does not exist here. That was Billy Graham. And they sent me to that godforsaken place a few weeks later. And I pitched my tent on the other side of the railroad track. And I started talking to those folks there in Syracuse. I said, I know where you came from. Most of you came from Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, and North Carolina. And they said, God sent me here to talk to Aunt Mabel's children. The drug pushers would pass by the tent. They would turn their big musical boxes off. And they would sit out across the road and listen to the sermon being preached every night. One day they got shooting around there. And me and my team had to duck for cover. But I preached every night. Then here comes the television station. Who is this rebellious preacher over there trying to take all of our people's money? I didn't take a dime from them. I brought everything with me that we used. And so that night, they had it all over the TV screens and the news. That rebellious preacher over there preaching. The next night, my tent was packed. Help me, Jesus. And I kept on preaching. Amen, somebody. And there was a lady that came under my tent in a wheelchair. She had been paralyzed from her neck down. This is a real story. I know we have a hard time believing in the miracle of God. She could not walk. And I can't sing. But I was up singing my theme song. Can I sing my theme song to you?
Sing it,
brother.
Sing it.
I'm gonna trust in the Lord. I'm gonna trust in the Lord. And when I got to the third verse of that song, I'm gonna walk and talk with my Jesus, my tent went into an uproar.
Wow.
Everybody jumped to their feet, praising the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I wondered what was going on in there. I knew I couldn't sing that well. When I spin around and look behind me, the lady that was in a wheelchair was up leaping for joy.
Amen.
I'm telling you about what I've seen with these eyes.
Amen.
I baptized so many folks in that meeting, 131 persons.
Amen.
I haven't finished with the story. I had no place to put them. But there was a Jewish church on the top of the hill that they wanted $1.3 million for. I marched all 131 of those brand new members up to that place, and on the lawn we had a prayer vigil.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And we prayed on the lawn of that piece of property and those buildings that God would give it to us.
Amen.
I bought that building for $200,000. And Syracuse University rented out one of the buildings on the property for $75,000 a year. Are y'all listening to me? I've seen what God can do. I've been threatened at gunpoint just for preaching. I've seen what God can do. So when you hear about what can happen here at camp meeting, when Elder Rojas talked to you about $1 million sitting out there in those pews, I know it's out there. I've never seen so many campers and SUVs. This is a rich place. Where y'all get all that money from? God gave it to you. Amen. So there's no doubt in my mind, in the last meeting he was in, 42 were baptized. There's no doubt in my mind, if you get on the ball and start inviting your friends and your relatives here, we'll do the same thing here, because it's the self-same spirit.
Amen.
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 Now you ready for me to kind of get into your mind a little bit? Let's deal with where you live. Amen. I've shared my faith with you. I know what God can do, and I know what God is going to do with and through you. I've had people to say, oh, but if we just knew this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll witness it now. Be a witness and let God use you to tell someone else what to do. You see this young lady right here? Stand up, sweetheart. You're the one that gave me a hug this morning. She's an evangelist.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes. She has her friends standing, sitting here. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you. If I were here for a week or two, I'd baptize you. That's why I'll baptize you again. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Because I love you. And I know God loves you.
Amen.
She told me she was a member of a Mormon church.
Nazarene
church, yeah. Praise God. God is a good God. I'm not trying to steal you. I just want to love you. Is it all right for me to love you?
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Now, what was I doing? Because I got lost in God's work. Where am I? What am I dealing with? Can I do that? The Bible lets me know that only God can look, you know, into the mind, isn't it right? I mean, into your heart. God looks, we look at our appearance, but God looks at who you are deep down inside. But I can share with you some things that are familiar with us all. So let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. Five love languages. You know what your love language is. Gary Chapman tells us that these are the five love languages. Will you read them for us, please? Can you see them? The love language of what? Words of affirmation. The second one is the love language of what? The third is the love language of? And the fourth is the love language of? And the fifth is the love language of? Mm-hmm. Do you know what your love language is? When you are talking to someone and communicating with someone, you should not speak your language. But you should speak the language of the person that you are communicating with.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Is everything all right? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
I'm not talking about you this time. I'm talking about that lady behind you over there. You see, you aren't the only one.
It's catching on.
That means you're a man of influence. Amen. Use it wisely. Praise be to God. But I just want to make sure you're okay. So do you know what your love language is? Let's start there. How many of you think that your love language is words of affirmation? Would you give us some of those words of affirmation? How do you relate to people in such a way that you affirm them? Can you just share some of that with us? Because some of us may not know some of the ways that we can affirm others. So if you raise your hand, just stand up and share it with us.
That was a good job.
That was a good job. So you commend them on the act. Anyone else?
I appreciate you.
Words of kindness. Say again.
Words of kindness.
Words of kindness. Can you give me some of them? I love you.
You're special and God loves you.
You're special in God's eyes.
You're unique.
God. You're a unique person.
Yes.
I love your smile. Any others? Yes.
God loves you, so
therefore I'm not going to argue with you. Is that what you said?
With him.
With him, okay. I'm not going to argue with God. Any others?
You're looking good.
You're looking good today. Any others? I'm sorry?
Star of my universe.
You're the stars in my universe. He was with me this morning. And the lumber in my tabernacle of joy.
You are a great pastor.
You're a great pastor. Thank you. But God, isn't that what the Bible teaches us? That the purpose for coming to church is to forsake not the assembling of the saints together. Your job is to affirm me. My job is to affirm you. And our job is to make each other feel better about themselves. That's your job. You don't come to church to be fed. You should come to church to feed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Feed out of your abundance. I've been dealing with God all week, and this is what the Lord has done for me. And if you want to be a good evangelist, get in step before getting out of step. In other words, the most powerful thing that we have to do evangelism is our testimony. Amen. But in the vernacular of my grandmother, if you ain't done nothing, you ain't got nothing. But when Jesus is with you, it's like a burning fire. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So what do you bring to church? Not what you get out of it. If you bring words of affirmation, someone is going to leave church better because they've had an encounter with you. And let me tell you about that type of encounter. When you do a good deed for someone else, you bless everybody that witnessed that deed. And you bless everyone that they tell about the deed that you blessed them with. So you bless so many people when you do just one good deed.
Amen.
See this brother over here? See, he's my friend forever. Because you know why? He just told me, Pastor, you're a good pastor.
You're a great pastor.
Now don't get beside yourself. Let's keep Jesus up there, amen. Praise be to God. Brother Neese, how you doing, Pastor? Look who's sitting in the front up there.
Teacher.
That's her old student. She taught him in elementary school. When he was running around talking about his Nubian queens. Yes. Saw him when he was first coming into the church, and their school converted his life. My wife was the principal of the school. And now I look at him, he's a preacher of righteousness.
Long journey, traveled a long journey.
Yeah. I know his mother, I know what he went through.
Yeah.
But now look at him.
Amen.
It's a small world. And when you do a good deed for someone, it comes back. Look how many individuals have been blessed by this young man. I'm getting a bit emotional up here right now. Yeah, I know y'all are very conservative. Please excuse me, amen. But I have many sons in the ministry just like him.
Amen.
Many. And to think that I ran for ministry for 7 years. That's why I have a science background. I was going out to Loma Linda University for medicine. And don't even like the sight of blood. So what was I going to do in medicine? But the Lord said to me, it's time for you to stop running. And that's why I want to talk to you about your, what we call in psychology, entitlements. You see, my mother said, and I don't know whether it was superstition or what, but I was born on Tuesday morning around 6 a.m. And she says, boy, my father was a minister,
And out of all seven of my children, you are going to be the minister.
Wow.
I ran all of my life. And when I got to college, I was still running, 7 years. But I was not able to get away from the thought of my mother telling me that I was going to be a minister. Some parents tell their children, boy, you're no good. You're just like your old drunken uncle. You're going to grow up to be nothing. And then we are concerned when we see a self-fulfilled prophecy. Oh, yeah. I spend some time doing that, too. I go to Bermuda. I used to. I'm retired now. I used to go to Bermuda and counsel members of the House of Parliament and their families that were in trouble. Spend a lot of time over there dealing with them. Entitlements are so very important. You have to be very careful, especially as a parent, what you say to your growing child. And what you want to do is give them words of what?
Affirmation.
Words of affirmation. Well, let's move on. Words of affirmation. Say positive things.
Amen.
Say what kind of things, everybody?
Positive.
Accentuate the positive, diminish the negatives. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you, everybody has virtues and everybody has faults.
Right.
Why do we focus so often on the faults? Why? What do we get out of it? Maybe it's a self-esteem problem and you feel better when you have somebody else under your feet.
Yes, I think so.
You think so? And in a lot of cases, maybe that's the case. But if you say positive things about a person, they will want to do better. And so, since you don't get any mileage out of being negative, but you know, constructive criticism.
Constructive.
Well, who died and made you the boss of somebody else's humility? Constructive criticism. Destructive. So say something positive. You can say anything in a positive way.
Amen. Amen.
Take the time to be positive.
Amen.
Because you are not perfect.
Amen.
And I'm not perfect.
Amen.
Everybody has faults.
Amen.
Everybody has virtues.
Amen.
Accentuate the virtues. Diminish the negatives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Focus on that which is good. So I'm dealing with now a seminar that really was somebody else's seminar, but he was unable to come, so I'm dealing with the love languages. I see my boss standing over there. See, that's my boss over there. See my boss. Hello, boss. She's getting the numbers. So leave a person feeling better because they're encounter with you. That's what a Christian will do. When you come in touch with the light that is shining within us. And Jesus Christ is the light.
Amen.
And he says to us, I am the bread of life. I am the light. Jesus Christ is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation is the story of the Messiah. And when you look at the story of the Messiah, all through that story, Jesus Christ is the one that we should point people to. And when we point people to Jesus, listen to what he said about us. Even when you were in your mother's womb, I died for you. So I love you with an everlasting love. Can we love people that way? Even our husbands and wives? And I look at my wife often because I want to take all power away from her. So I tell her, I love you and you have absolutely nothing to do with it. I love you because I decided to love you.
Amen.
And I'm going to be there for you no matter what.
Amen.
Took all power away from her.
Where can she go after that? Because I know she's been very patient with me. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
That's called unconditional love, and that's the type of love that Jesus has for us.
Amen.
Now, we know that some things are conditional. If you love me, for instance, do what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. Do you love her?
Of course.
How do you know it?
I've been married 32 years.
So being married means that you love her?
Yeah.
You think so?
It's a commitment, yeah. It's a commitment, love.
Yeah?
Give and share. And
oh, you've been committed for 37 years.
38 years.
Yeah. Is that why you're touching her right now?
It's just natural.
It's natural. I love you, man. I want a pattern my life just after you. God is a good God. Amen. Now, I'm going to pick on you, okay? But I don't mean any harm. Amen. And I'm always looking for the positive. See, that's something that I lack about you. Amen. She went and got a husband. I wondered why. I won't get to this 97% of the time in a few minutes. But now, what was I dealing with? Words of affirmation. Amen. Okay. Quality time. When we had no money, I would just take my wife for a walk on the beach.
Amen.
Just holding her hand. You know, reason why we are so attracted to an area like this is because we basically met in an area like this. We were at, where were we? AUC? And walking, where were we? I know we were walking across a field. Took the children on a field trip from our Northeastern Academy where we both taught. And that's the first time we got a chance to really talk to each other. This is a wonderful setting. I can see why people take vacation time to come to camp meeting.
Amen.
Y'all do camp meeting the right way.
Amen.
You bring all your house and everything. I wish I could do camp meeting like that. Praise be to God. But quality time. Be encouraged by the interest of the other person. You know, your job is to make the other person happy. The other person's job is to make you happy.
Amen.
But I give and I give and I give and I give and I get nothing back. Well, maybe you're giving with the wrong motive. What are you talking about, preacher? The brother ain't going nowhere. He's still there. So maybe what you're doing is working.
That's right.
Oh, you see? When I take self away from us, we all look at ourselves in a different light. But Jesus wants us to be his disciples. It's one thing to be a Christian, Christ-likeness. It's another thing to be a disciple.
Amen.
When you are a disciple, you follow the one that discipled you.
Amen.
And if Jesus discipled you, then you should love even when you're being crucified.
Amen.
By the very ones that you loved. That's kind of hard, isn't it? I said, that's kind of hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Say yes, Pastor.
Yeah.
Say yes, Pastor. That's kind of hard. Oh, I where's my wife? I don't know what happened to my handkerchief, but it's gone. Oh, I found it.
Oh, here.
I found it. Thank you, precious. I thank it. And so, Jesus wants us to have that kind of love. And I know that it's a hard thing. You know, we're called to sometimes be more than human. But isn't that what it's all about? It's not about us. It's about Christ.
Amen.
It's about sharing Jesus.
Amen.
even when it hurts. Now, I mentioned early on in this meeting, I would never tell a person to stay in an abusive relationship. I would tell you to separate yourself because that's what the Bible tells you. It just means you can't go and get remarried unless you have the proper grounds to do it. Am I stepping on some toes? I hope not. I think I better move on. Y'all got too quiet. I learned a long time ago when I need to shut up and move on. Quality time. Being present. You know, not just being in a room, but being present. That I'm sure. Oh, that air feels so good. Amen. God, see how good God is? Give Him praise. And being attentive. You know, your wife is talking to you. And you're busy reading the newspaper. She's talking to you, and because you feel energy exuding from you, you have to turn your head and look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. See, I want to get a little bit past the surface. Am I the only one that's done that? She's yapping. Yappity, 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 yappity. Yes, brother. Yes.
I learned a long time ago that you better listen to what she's saying, because she'll say, repeat what I said to you, and you're in trouble if you're not paying attention.
That is so true. That's so true. That's so true. But you see, we dealt with the real men here this morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
Real men, are you still here?
Yeah.
I said, are you still here?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
All right.
That's testosterone flowing. Amen. Praise be to God. So be attentive. You know, and if you listen to females, when they are being attentive, they just affirm and each other, you know, yeah, I know what you mean. Is that right, girl? That's so nice. And they're constantly affirming. We men. Yeah. No. That's not being attentive. When you're attentive, she knows. Now, you know I'm going to pick on you. You know I'm going to pick on you. Sitting there with your arms all folded. You got that nice, strong man sitting beside you there who does not have a gut like mine.
That's right.
Well fit. And she's sitting there with her arms all folded. But she's listening. Amen. Now, who's this guy sitting beside you there? Is that the man of the hour? Can I just have you to look at him? Tell him you're the man. No, just look at him. Yeah. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. She made his day. Praise be to God. Where am I? I think I'm still dealing with this. I want to get to the other seminar, all right? So, receiving gifts. When was the last time you bought someone something? Watch what others... And this is a little secret that I've learned. Wow. Watch what your mate does for you. Wait 2 weeks and do the same thing for them. Because people are always telling you what they wish you would do for them.
Okay.
My wife, if I left it up to her, she would make all of her clothes. She's very frugal. She taught me how to budget, taught me how to save money. She has a master's in business. My master's in theology. What do I know about money? But when I see something that I want her to wear, I have all of her sizes in my wallet.
That's right.
Hint, 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 hint. So I'll go out and buy that dress. And she'll put it on. Now, brothers, don't mess up. I'm trying to help you. When she comes down the stairs, whether she says something or not, she's looking for a compliment. And I look, oh, if Cleopatra were here, she would not look better in that dress. Now, to make sure that she knows you're attentive, you need to know what color it is.
All right.
You need to talk about how it fits. And let her know you look like a Coca-Cola baller in that dress. Just lavish it. Lay it on, amen. You don't get the rewards. Now, somebody asked me earlier, said, Pastor, are you going to do something to help the men? Yes, I'm going to do it right now.
All right.
Ladies, for the average man in here, it's about rice. What did I say?
Rice.
Say it loud.
Rice.
And if a man comes to his only store to buy rice, only to hear from the store owner, no rice. I don't know why y'all laughing. I am very clean. If he goes away 2 days and comes back to his only store,
no rice.
He can't shop at any other store to buy rice, only to hear from the store owner, I'm tired, no rice. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Okay. So the brother goes away and comes back a week to his only store.
No rice.
And there's no rice. Sooner or later, the brother has to go to work. He can't shop at the other store.
No.
But window shopping, he can't avoid it because he will see rice.
That's right.
They have Chinese rice. They have white rice. They have brown rice. They have Spanish rice. They have rice and peas. Black rice. Dirty rice. I'm only talking about rice. And the devil would have it that the rice in that store is cheaper than the rice in his own store. And yet we wonder why so many marriages are breaking up. Used to be a time that women did not have affairs. Now they're at the 37 plus percentile. Now, I'm only talking about rice. And when y'all leave out of here, it'll be all right. Now, I'm going to tell you one other little story, and then I'm moving on. I want to tell you about cheese. This is a true experiment. You can take a mouse and put him in a maze. I've seen this done. And put cheese in the fourth tunnel. The mouse will run up and down each tunnel until he gets to the fourth tunnel and he finds cheese. So the next time you put the mouse in the maze, he will go straight to the fourth tunnel. If you take the cheese and move it to another tunnel, the mouse will go to the fourth tunnel and discover that there's no cheese. And he'll look up and down in the other tunnels until he finds the cheese. You see, for the mouse, it's more important to find the cheese. Every woman has a sweet spot, a place where love just exudes from her. And if she's happy, she will make your whole home happy. But you must find it.
I'm talking about love languages. Mm-hmm. You must find it so that your house can be a happy place where God loves to visit.
Amen.
I'm talking about evangelism. When that happens, your house will become a beacon of light for your area. Did y'all get that?
Yes.
Now I want you to walk out of here and remember two things. Rice and cheese. Is that easy enough? Mm-hmm. Now, because I'm not a one-sided preacher, I'm going to tell you the other side of the coin. Every man in here needs to beat his wife home from work one day. Because you're the breadwinner. She should not even have to work. But if she works, she's helping you to be the breadwinner of your home. Beat her home from work one day. Get rid of the kids. I'm speaking her love language. I'm not speaking the man's love language right now. I'm on the other side of the coin right now. That's why she's giggling right now. Because she understands that I understand where she lives. And when she comes home from work, say, sweetheart, the children have been taken care of. And I fix you the meal that I want you to eat. Give her a 30-second kiss at the door. And tell her her bath water has already been drawn. And you left the clothes in the bathroom that you want her to put on. She likes when you take charge. I'm speaking her love language, all right? That's why she's giggling. And when she comes out of that bathroom wearing what you want her to wear. Now, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And don't judge me. I'll be just like Pastor Rudolhouse. Don't write me no letters. Just because you live on Mars, don't write me no letters. But turn the lights down low and light a candle. And when she comes to that table, hold a chair for her. Fix her plate. Say your blessings. Pick up her fork. And feed her. Wow. Listen at you. Listen, just listen at you. So you're a real people. You can be a real Christian and have emotions.
Amen.
But now I'm gonna tell you how not to mess up, brother. Because you're speaking her language and not yours. You look her eyeball to eyeball. Use your words. The love language. Sweetheart, the reason why I did all of this, because I want you to know how much I love and appreciate you.
Amen.
You see, that's what happened to Eve. Words, audio. Now listen, brothers, don't mess it up. That night, you cannot have any sex. Because the minute you try, she's going to think you did everything that you did to get what you want. So don't even try. See, that brother's still stuck on rice, isn't he? I told him. See, I told that brother that I was speaking her language, right? So he's still stuck on his own language. But communication is not speaking the language that you want, but speaking the language that she wants.
Amen.
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 Now that's the balanced side of the coin. So you ladies, you walk out of here and you think cheese and rice. And you men, if you want to speak her language, you walk out of here, you think love and appreciation.
Amen.
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 I'm kind of through with the love languages. How much time do I have, Mr. Moderator? She said, much as you want. I'm not going to do that. I'm a stinkler for a time. And I'm going to stick to the time. How much time?
About half an hour.
About a half an hour. Okay. I'm going to shift from this now. Any question? Well, let me see. And let me finish the other two. What did I do with my... Oh, there it is. Let me finish with the other two. Acts of service. Amen. The Good Samaritan attitude. When did you last do something good for someone else? And kind acts of blessings. I've already told you about that. Not only the person that you are doing the kind act for, but everybody that knows about it is blessed by it. And then Jesus did what everybody?
Gave.
So you're in good company. And then the last one is what? Physical touch. Let me tell you about the little girl that was locked up in a closet. It's a true story. She was locked up in a closet, denied physical touch, and she started acting like an animal. God made us in such a way that physical touch is important. Physical touch is some people's love language. So if you have a wife that likes to cuddle near you, don't push her away. But the bottom line is opposites attract, so many times it happens. But some people's love language is touch. Now, women don't have a problem with it. You see a bunch of women sitting down, and I wonder, Alpha wondered, oh, no, how in the world are they doing this? There are five or six women sitting in a circle, and they're all talking at the same time. And they all understand each other. We men are compartmentalized. You can't talk to us about three or four things, for the most part, at one time and expect us to get them all. That's not the way we are wired. But women don't have a problem with that. So you see a bunch of women sitting around, and they're touching each other. They have no problem with touch. And they don't mean anything about it. It's just loving, spiritual, kind touch. You don't see a bunch of men sitting around touching each other. Can I get a witness today? You touch me, I'm going to wonder, brother. What's wrong with you? You understand?
Yes.
So there's a difference between men and women, and so physical touch is very important to a lot of people. Not just women. Some men love to be touched. I wonder them. Amen. Tell you a story. I was at Pastor in Buffalo, and there was a how old was she? About 75 years old, Trinidadian woman that stayed in a nursing home. And every Sabbath, with her cane, she'd come toward me. And she'd stand there. She was just playing with me, okay? And she would attempt to kiss me in my mouth. I would fade left and go right. And she kissed me on the cheek and she hobbled away. And she came every Sabbath for that. She made me ginger beer every week. Made my wife sorrow every week. And she came. And I gave her that love.
Amen.
Because that was probably the only physical touch she had for the entire week. So we played a game. Sometimes I'd see her coming and I'd run from her. She'd follow me wherever I was. And when she got there, she'd give me my little peck on the cheek. And she would walk away just as happy as a jaybird. Physical touch. It's so very important. And the older our people get, the more they need it. Especially when their spouses are gone on. But now be aware of bonding. You know, there's one thing that's a holy kiss. I know I'm meddling right now.
That's all right.
But all of these bear hugs, woman to man in the church, cut it out.
Right.
Because the man is not thinking the same thing that you're thinking. I know you're innocent, but he's thinking about sex every 15 minutes. So cut out the bear hugs. When I see them coming, I turn to the side and I reach out and let them kiss me on the cheek. Come here, sweetie. The bonding process. When you are just standing, don't touch yet, sweetie. I know it's hard for you. See, I have it like that. But this is safe. This is safe, amen? When you move in, don't touch. When you move in like this, you're beginning to bond. This is bonded. When you do this, you're beginning to own her. When you do this, you are possessing her. Everything beyond this is like being on a snow-covered mountain, tobogganing down a hill. Everything beyond this. And this is more sexual than even a kiss. Everything else, you know, not unless you're in the sanctity of your coveted marital bedroom, is off limits. And even the hand to the head is off limits. The hand around the waist is off limits. Amen, somebody?
Hand in the back pocket.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Young people used to do this a lot. You see them walking and the boy has his hands in his young girl's back pocket. Well, if you move that little piece of cloth, where does he have his hand?
Yeah.
It's just a little piece of cloth. And don't think that she can't feel that. That's bonding. And that's the reason why I want to be very conservative. I would say 40%+ of our young people in our church today are sexually active. And I know the numbers are higher than that. So we need to teach. You know what is wholesome and what is going beyond the boundaries. And when we come in church, all of these things have to be taught in church. How to set proper boundaries so that you don't get in trouble. Any questions on this? I'm going to move on now. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am, I'm ready.
I'm a hugger.
You're a hugger.
Everybody, so that's not right then.
No, it all depends on how you hug.
Oh, okay.
It all depends on how you hug.
Okay.
I'm a hugger too.
Okay.
But you have to be very careful.
How you hug. Okay.
You don't want to come with a big bear hug. You know, pressing your
body.
How can I say this, ladies?
Pressing your body.
Body is a good word? but I want to go beyond body, so how do I say it? Help me out, I want to be clean. Well, help me out, what would you say? Chess? Okay. By now, everybody knows what we're talking about, okay? I like playing dumb, so do you, so that you can come up with answers. But don't be doing that because he's not thinking the way you're thinking. Amen. I said amen. Yes. Holding hand is bonding. So, you know, if it's your special one, it's okay to hold hands. Got a special one? That's not the same one you laid the 37-second kiss on.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
44 years. 44 years. Pray, give him a round of applause, everybody. Amen. I got 35 years in. 35 and moving on. Amen. So this is bonding. And now I want to, you know, give you a second or so. Just stand up for a minute. I know I'm tired. What about you? And we have about 15 or 20 minutes to finish this seminar. 25. Okay. Just stretch. Reach up to the sky. Way up. Way up. Praise God. Shake them around. Shake them a little bit. Okay. Praise God. You can sit down. Now I want to talk about power and control and dominance. Anybody here from Jamaica? Anybody here from Africa? Where are you from in Africa?
Zimbabwe.
Yeah. My first elder is from Zimbabwe.
Oh.
Yes. Elder Gwaba.
Oh, yeah.
Zimbabwe. Anybody here from South Carolina? Jamaicans? Bajans? Any Bajans? Okay, I just want to know who I'm talking to. Everybody else now, what about you Canadians? Where did your roots originate? Because I know it's not Canada. Sprecher Sie Deutsch?
Yeah.
Chris Wood for a line. Can I speak with you? I'm not better. Do be such a matter, Lee Brand. I lived in Germany for 3 years. A lot of German folks up here? What else?
Romania.
Praise God.
Ukrainian.
You kidding?
Yeah.
Wow. Asians?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And what am I missing?
India.
See, I'm learning right now what I should say and what I shouldn't say.
India.
India?
Mmm.
Mm.
Peru.
Excuse me?
Peru.
Peru?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, now I see it. No, Peru, he says.
Yeah.
Who's from Peru?
Peru.
Where? Peru.
Peru.
Oh, there they are. Okay. Praise God. The Native Americans? Okay, so that's what I'm dealing with now. All right.
Well.
If you are from Canada, were you born and raised here?
Yes.
Huh. What about the World War II generation, your parents? Where were they born?
Canada.
Canada.
Czechoslovakia.
Ah. Oh, okay. How do you deal? You see, in some cultures, I was in school up in Boston, and I was doing some research, and the hospital that I was working in at the time up there asked me to do some research on pain, stress, and pain thresholds. And here what I discovered. Certain cultures allow their men to be sick. But certain other cultures do not allow their men to be sick. So even when the men were sick, they would wait until the very last minute to get help. Because to be sick meant
that they were weak.
Wow.
Now I know that in some cultures, men are allowed to be sick. Would you say that men are allowed to be sick in your culture? I know. You said not yours. Oh, so it's different? Okay. What about your culture?
Yeah.
Men in my culture are not allowed to be sick. So my wife has to pull teeth to get me to go to the doctor.
Right.
To the point that she's become a naturopath. Amen, somebody. And so, if that's factual, and I believe that the research that was done was pretty factual, the group wasn't as large as it could have been. I would have loved to have done it a little bit more expansively so that we could find out, you know, whether it was like that. I know the Indian culture, for instance, the men don't have a problem with the women being dominant. Are you a Brahmin?
No.
Are you a Brahmin?
That's not true.
Well, some of them.
Maybe, but not me.
Not you. You want to tell me about you?
I mean, I'm in control.
You are?
Not controlling. Yes. With mutual consent.
Do you still pick?
I take the leading role.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you. I don't have a fight with you. Do you pick the mate for your children?
No, but my parents did.
I know they did.
Right.
I know they did. I'm talking about you now, okay?
No.
So you allow them to pick their own mates.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
All right. And they are married.
Okay. I'm on the page with you. Mm. We're on the same page. I'm just saying in different cultures,
yes,
you have different approaches. Because I believe that I can pick a better mate for my children than they can.
Amen. You got some support in the back, man.
I got some support back there. Yeah, I know. So I wanted to just kind of pick at this, and I want to pick around it because I don't think I have all the information. I'm trying to learn right now. So there are some cultures where the men are dominant. Those are basically patriarchal societies. And there's some cultures where the women are dominant. And those are matriarchal societies. And I'm talking about power and control. And there's some cultures where opposites attract. And you have fireworks. So how do we solve that problem? Now, since you're easy to talk to over here, you said, that's not the way my culture is. What do you mean by that? Who's dominant, your dad or your mom?
My mom was.
Hmm. My wife would say her mom was dominant. I would say that my father was dominant. Which one of the two was dominant for you?
It had
mother.
You're kidding. I expected it to be your father. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, you know, like my father charged.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Who whipped you?
My father when I was small. Home. But when I grown up, my mother did.
Yeah?
Yes.
My mother would not whip the boys.
That's right, my mother.
She would say to us,
wait
until your daddy get home. Now, I preferred to be whipped by my mother because
yeah.
She couldn't hit as hard. But I'm going someplace with this. The place where I'm going with this is this. Jesus is our Father.
Amen.
And as our Father, He never forces Himself on us. He gives us the freedom. Choice. And even though I think I know what's best for my children, they don't listen to me. And when they make their little mistakes,
here they come running. So my daughter was recently divorced. And she's back in my house. If she had listened to me the first time, I saw straight through that rascal. Mm. Am I being recorded? Now, y'all keep this in Canada, okay? Don't let this come to the U.S. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But you see, I looked at him the way a man would look at him. And she was tender-hearted, like many of our Adventist girls. And she was looking at him with an angelic complex. In her mind, she was going to fix a bad boy. But I saw how bad he was. And I didn't like him from day one. But I respected him. I wouldn't disrespect his house. I would not get involved in their situation. I respected him. But I didn't like him. I'm being very vulnerable right now. And my wife told me to be quiet. That's her way of telling me to be quiet. Hopefully I'm in Canada.
He knew you didn't like
it. It's only on the internet.
He never knew that I didn't like him.
Oh.
To this day, he still calls me dad.
Wow.
And he called me recently. I want him to complain to me about my daughter.
Well,
he didn't know it, and he still doesn't know. So I'm saying to you, this power and control thing is a detriment. Our lives. And if Jesus gives us the right to say no, you know, some of us, we have a difficult time when our wives say no. I know I do. Can I get a witness? She say no to me, I feel hurt. Don't y'all feel sorry for me? Why are you going to be so hard? No! I'm just trying to take us out of that melancholic moment that I was in, all right? I'm going to move on now. So power and control issues, you know, we all have them, and some of us have them a little worse than others. So let's deal with it. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this. Read it for me, everybody. My seminar here this week is basically what lies within you. Do you know yourself? Who are you deep down on the inside? Because whatever that is going to come out in your witness. Understanding the woman in your life, I've covered most of this already. And this is the seminar that I was telling you about where the most important thing to them is not what we men think it is. And self-esteem problem, most of the women, at least in the U.S., they just recently began to get their self-esteem from their jobs. And the glass ceiling in America is lower for a black man than it is for a black woman. Because for some reason, those that are in control do not feel as threatened by the black woman. And in America, where slavery went on, maybe that's because some of the black women were actually the nanners in the homes that not only took care many times of the children, but were like mothers to them. And so he has a tremendous amount of respect for her in America. I don't know if it's the same thing in Canada, but the black woman has a lot of power in America. Self-esteem, I want to mention the church. Some people, when they come to church, you wonder why this deacon has had everything his way, especially if he's coming from a certain cultural background. Maybe he wants to have his way in the church because he does not have his way in the workplace and any place else. I can always tell in a church when I'm attacked by a man in the church that he doesn't have any power at home. So I'll go straight to his house, sit up at his dining room table, and eat up all of his food. and compliment his wife on a delicious meal. And I am mentoring this brother. I'm trying to teach him how to treat her so that he has more control in the home. Because when a woman sees that her husband loves the Lord, she will rise up and call him blessed. I know he has no power, so I go straight there, sit up and have a conversation with him, become his friend, take him out and play golf if I need to, but I'm going to eat up his food because I have a responsibility to him, and I want him to be a better man so that he gets more respect in his home. So if you got to control everything, you need to ask yourself the question, why? Why? What am I substituting for? What do I feel deep down on the inside that I'm not getting? So I need to dominate you to get it. That's not Jesus' attitude. So where's it coming from? And many times it's coming out of our history. If you grew up in an abusive home, you have a tendency to be abusive. You must make a conscious decision not to be abusive. Because that which is familiar to you is going to be something that will come first to you. But you can decide that I'm not going to be that type of person. Y'all getting too quiet. This is a rural area, Elder. And I'm reminded now of what life is like in a rural area. It's pretty rough, isn't it? The men work pretty hard, don't they? And sometimes when you work hard, you have less tolerance for foolishness. Can I get a witness? I think I better leave that alone. Most women are what?
Audios.
It's what you say to them that gets their attention. Understanding the man in your life, man wants to feel special. He wants to make a difference. And I could go on and on and on with that. I'm not going to spend your time with appreciate and admire your man. And how do you do that? You should become his number one cheerleader. Pavlov's theory says this. If a person does something that you lack, reward them and they will do it again. So if your husband makes an effort, you need to look at him and say, honey, I like that. Some of the greatest monuments, if not most of them, that have been built in this world were built by men for a female. Taj Mahal. And the list goes on and on and on. So if you want him to do nice things, reward him and he will do them. Amen? Now, when my wife first started cooking, she would burn the beans and the rice. And I would say to her, sweetheart, this is some of the best rice and peas. All the time in the back of my head, I was wondering and thinking, I wish she could cook like her mother. It's not that she didn't know how to cook. She would lose track and go and start doing something else. And forget that there was something on the stove. But I rewarded her every time. And now, she cooks just like her mother. That's why I'm a borderline diabetic today. My mother-in-law would make me a pineapple cake. Woo! I can taste it right now. And my wife can make that same cake today. But now I want to teach you a little something here. It takes 30 millivolts of mental energy to do something which is familiar to you. 30 millivolts. It takes 40 millivolts of mental energy to stop yourself from doing something that you've been accustomed to doing. That's why we were born in sin and shaped to iniquity. In iniquity, from our mother's womb, we came forth with the propensity towards sin. Because Jesus is a jealous God, visiting iniquity upon the father to the children to the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. So you're not who I see sitting out there right now, but you're part and parcel of your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents. So the question is, who are we? We're just chips off the old block. And so if it takes 30 millivolts of energy to stop yourself from doing something that you've been accustomed to doing, we can see how and why it's so easy for us to sin. But now listen at Jesus. Look at what he does. He comes and puts something up right beside that thing that we've been accustomed to doing. So instead of eating a cake now, a German chocolate cake, my wife can make a German chocolate cake using agave nectar. And agave nectar is not a sugar. So I get the benefit of the cake without the sugar. And that makes it easier for me because it's easy to grab the slice of cake. And that's the way Jesus is. He puts something right up beside it. Because he says, for every sin, there is an avenue of escape. And so he brings that to us. And he says to us, walk this way, children. And it only takes 30 millivolts of energy to listen to Jesus. But if you commit the sin, it takes 40 millivolts of energy for you to get out of it.
Wow.
Are y'all listening to me? So there's one word, and then I finish. And that word is choice. You can choose what direction you're going to go in. So I'm controlling diabetes now with diet.
Amen.
My A1C is going back beyond 7 where it belongs. I eat raw food. I eat vegetables. I walk 3 to 5 miles every day.
Amen.
And I have turned diabetes around.
Amen.
With choice.
Yes.
And whatever it is that God has in store for your life, all you need to do is make a choice. And he gives us the power and the strength to be overcomers. Can I get a witness today?
Amen.
Can I get a witness today?
Amen.
Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Then let's go over and listen later on to Elder Rojas. He's going to tell us some more stories of what God has done, is doing, and can do in our lives.
Amen.
Now you look like a very important man to me.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Well, I'm not important. I can tell you that.
No, he is.
He can tell you.
No, he can be.
I know. I see it.
Yeah.
I see it, and it scares me. He's a man. Amen. By the grace of God. Our next meeting is going to be what time tomorrow morning?
9:30.
And what am I going to cover?
I don't know. More good stuff.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. May God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
What were you born in? What month were you born in?
January.
January?
Yeah.
Were you really blessed?
I have got the same age.
Were you really blessed?
Uh-huh.
Let's put our hands together and give the Lord a wonderful God.
Yeah. See? Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah,
praise it.
Now, it was amazing when he said anyone from Jamaica.
And nobody said.
Go up?
No, no hand went up.
No hand went up.
But I was there.
No, no, I know. But wait a minute. Wow. That's strange.
Yes, it is.
It is very strange. Usually, at least one function will come be here. You know, when we poked that church in Alaska, there was a Jamaican right there. But you know, I'm glad we were here. Now, I'm telling you, I'm personally enjoying the presentation.
Amen.
I'm personally. And you know, when Ellis talk about the camp and the RVs,
I was taking Dr. Leslie Pollard up through the campus. And when he looked at it, he said, "Lord, preacher, I need to come back in one of these things." He said to me, "I've never seen camping like this." He said, "Well, look, I don't want no hotel. I will come from a Wednesday to a Sabbath for free, but give me a camper." So then he said to me, "Let me come into your camper." I said, "Mine is a rental." He said, "Doesn't matter." He walked in it. He said, "Jesus, they're showering here too." He said, "No, I'm coming back here." So do you know that this is very unique in Canada for us to have a campground like this? Amen?
Yes, it is.
And we need to say thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for what he has placed here for us. We really don't know what we have. Let's stand and let's have a prayer. And tomorrow morning, what time?
9:30.
Listen, grab hold of your friends who you know that have been struggling. Or even if they're doing extremely well, bring them. Bring them, because this is practical stuff that we can do. And let me see the hands of all of us who are going to practice some of those things.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise Him. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father God, you are an amazing God. Thank you for the presentation this evening, oh God. I pray that you will bless this audience, Lord. All of us have shortcomings. All of us need help. All of us need some tune-up in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes. And Father, when we have strong homes, we'll have a strong church.
Amen.
And then we'll have strong evangelism.
Amen.
And then we'll have a lot of people coming, because they'll be ready for Jesus to come.
Amen.
So thank you for being with us, and bless you, oh God, for all that you have done. May you bless the presenter and his wife,
Amen.
And his family, yes. And his home. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Rice and cheese.
That didn't